Today's gospel reading comes from the third chapter of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Remember, you're a loved child of God. We'll keep saying that until you know that. So today is the baptism of the Lord. And the first question is, and it's what Tuesday, that was the first question that pastors asked. Maybe you don't care why Jesus should be baptized, but pastors seem to think that's an important question. Why should Jesus be baptized? Well, he says in his text, can you hand me my bulletin, Beth? Thank you. I could have got it, I suppose. And so this is what he said. Jesus says, "Well, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." So that's the answer. Yeah, it's not very exciting, that answer. If you substitute righteousness with right relation, so what I believe Jesus is saying is, baptism is about getting things right. Right relation with God, right relation with each other, right relation with the world. That's what righteousness means. It means being in right relation. So Jesus is saying, this is how it goes for me. This is how it goes for everybody who is on this earth. If you want to be in right relationship, baptism is a good thing to do, because it gets you straight. And so the image, as I was thinking about, well, I mean, what really is baptism? What do we do? And first, in our pastor tech study, I thought of credit cards and being activated, but I changed the metaphor. Now, remember, it's just a metaphor. It's just a metaphor. It's not really real, but it points to things that are real. I think it's kind of like a phone. I think it's kind of like we're all phones, or we're given a phone, and that phone doesn't really work well. I mean, you can dial 911, you know, for emergencies, but until it's activated, you can't use the smartness of it, you know. You can't really fully use the phone. And in the same way, I think sometimes baptism is kind of like that. I think that's how Jesus kind of sets it up. It's the beginning of something. Because this is the first thing, this is the first words Jesus says. Let this happen so that everything can be right. This is the way to begin. Come into God's presence, being cleansed by the water, and coming out and knowing that you're a beloved child of God. That's what happened to me. That's what I'm going to command you in the very end of Matthew. That is the command. You heard that command earlier when we renewed our baptism. Go therefore and make disciples. Baptize them and teach them my commandments. And then that one nice promise. And I'll be with you always. I will always be with you. So I think it's kind of like a phone. And you know how phones go? Like, I have a phone that I've had for a while, and if you put a case on them, they last longer, you know. So like, if you drop them, which at least I have dropped my phone before. I know all of you are much more careful than I am. But sometimes when you drop those phones, they might not work quite the right way again, or you might get a cracked screen. Sometimes you can replace that and then it continues to work. Sometimes we get a cracked hip and we can replace that and we continue to work as people. But eventually there's a time when you drop it that one last time and it just doesn't turn on. So that's kind of how we are. I think baptism speaks to that phone analogy. But even more so, this is a gift. You know, we've just experienced Christmas and gift giving. And I believe baptism is part of a greater gift, a grander gift that we become a part of. Like Mackenzie said, you affirm your faith and you know that you're God's. You are God's person. I'm God's son. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. That's a wonderful gift. There's a part in the liturgy where sometimes it's the words are, let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. And the mystery is that Christ has died, Christ is risen, which is resurrection, and Christ will come again. And I believe that's part of the bigger, wonderful, grand mystery, the gift that God has given us. And so baptism fits in with this. I mean, here's the pattern of this mystery. Jesus is born for us. That was Advent. That was Emmanuel. God is with us. Then now we're in the baptism scene. Jesus is baptized, and we're all baptized into the love of God and experience grace and know that we're God's beloved. He's left us a bunch of teachings. I'll review a couple of those in a second. Things to think about, holy suggestions, I like to say. And he's left us a meal to remember. Take and eat. Drink. This is for you. And he's given us that promise. I'm going to go ahead of you, and I'm going to be with you. And if that doesn't work for you, well then, in my commandments, for example, when you're doing stuff on this earth, maybe a way to think about it is, well, if you love me, maybe you might love that stranger who is naked and needs to be clothed. Or maybe you might love that person who's in prison and needs to be visited. Or maybe you might love that homeless child who needs help, because it's me. So he's always trying to find ways to get us to know that we're beloved and that we're called, well, to follow his commandments, which is the next thing. So gift, and this is the resolutions category. You know, what is it, the seventh? What's today? I don't even know. Eighth? Jeez. Well, all right. 8 days in. Maybe some of you before have had a resolution. Well, I'm going to be thinner this year. I was going to say, raise your hand if you've ever done that, but I'm just going to say, I may have done that before. Well, from the first till now, I am not less than when I started January 1st. I may weigh a pound more or two or a couple, but I blame it on my mother's German Christmas cookies, really, because I ate them all because I'm an only child. So I ate them all, so I understand. But in the end of this gospel, in Matthew's gospel, where I said, go and make disciples, baptizing them, and teach them my commandments. In the gospel of Matthew, there are a ton of things Jesus says. And I in fact, looked through them this morning, and it's two sheets of small print, and we don't have enough time to go over them all. But there's a couple of bottom line things to think about. And it is kind of like thinking about resolutions. You know, this is a thing I should probably do, and it's a good thing to do, probably for me. And some things, resolutions, may be good things to do for others. And maybe losing weight for yourself might be a good thing for others, like your family or your friends. But what I would suggest, whether it is a resolution or if you're trying to follow Jesus and his commandments, is don't ever base it on shame, fear, or guilt. And what I would say is that's a tone. That's a tone in life. So if someone tells you to do something, how you receive it, of course, is going to be how you receive it. But if I say to you, love your neighbor, I don't know how you receive that tone. Was that a tone of shame, fear, or guilt when I said that? Love your neighbor. And the older I get, the more if you feel shame, fear, or guilt in being compelled to do something, that's probably not the thing you should do. Now maybe some of us need a little fear in our lives. You might be afraid to risk, and so to push. You know, to push a little bit, because Jesus in this gospel and every gospel pushes us always. When a rich man comes to him and says, Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life. So now I'm speaking to everybody in this room, by the way. This is me speaking to you. This is Jesus speaking to us. What should we all do as rich people in this world? Jesus says, sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and follow me. He says, follow me again and again and again. But he doesn't say, follow me because I shame you, or follow me because I want you to feel guilty about it, or follow me in fear, because in this gospel and every gospel, whenever someone is afraid, he says, well, why are you afraid? Have faith. In another place, he says, don't worry. God knows the sparrows flying and flowers. Don't you think God cares about you more? Follow me. Don't fear. Let me be clear, Jesus says. I'm not a fan of hypocrites. That's what he calls the Pharisees and Sadducees. These are people who say things, you know, do something, but say something else. Or say something, but do something else. And the real example I think about would be, I think Jesus would say in our culture here, if you love Rotary more than your family, you know, you might want to think about what you're doing and what you're saying. And maybe that's too close to home for some of you who are Rotary people. But I'm just trying to give a real explicit example of what Jesus might say about it. But again, it's not fear. It's not shame. It's not guilt. Go and do this. Follow me. And you'll be free. In the end, it is about freedom. And it's about grace that begins in the waters, that cleanse us, that we are part of this gift, this big, grand program that God has designed for me and for you. And Mackenzie knows it, because she's here. And all of you who came up to, that was such a joy today to remind you that you are a loved child of God. And then some of you, I had a triple reminder at least, so that was cool. I got to be reminded at least three times that maybe I need a lot more love than I realize. And maybe we all do. Because that's what the good news is. Again and again, Jesus says, go and tell people the good news. And if you're not in a position to do that, because you are like a phone, maybe have been dropped a couple times and are pretty broken, then Jesus says, come. You heard that in the song we sang, the choir sang today. Come to the waters. If you're weary and your heart is heavy, come. And I will make you whole. That's good news. That's the gospel. Amen.